So if you would you please open your Bibles to Matthew 22, 22:36. Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, all the law and the prophets." I want to say that I feel like we do the first one really well. I feel like we honor God when we come to church here. You know, I feel like we put God first in our service. We have a prayer group here praying for the service. We have a prayer group here praying for the service. And then we have had worship that we enter into the throne room. It's awesome, right? Can we agree with that? All right. And I won't say that the second one's lacking. I'm saying we need to work at it. And that's love your neighbor as yourself. It's real easy to love everyone in this room. It's real easy to love everyone who's here because you are family. We are the family of New Life Church. Very excited about what the future is going to hold here at New Life. But it says, love your neighbors as yourself. This is where it starts getting closer to home. I want you to think, who's your neighbors? This is a nice way of saying love other people as you love yourself. I think we do a good job. And I want to be utmost respectful to you guys. I'm not up here grinding an axe. I'm not up here saying, hey, you guys aren't doing it. You need to do it. That's not the purpose at all. I think we need to show the love that we show each other to the world. We need to show the love that Christ has given us outside these walls. Because I think people want to be a part of a family. I think people want to be part of a loving family. A lot of people out there don't know what that is. And that's unfortunate. Because we have the greatest gift of all. We have Christ in us. We have love in us. That we need to go out and preach the gospel. If you'll turn to Matthew 28:16, we're going to be going through some scriptures here. There's a lot of different directions we could go today. But I want to stay on topic. I want to stay on point with this in the general direction we're going. So Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to this mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." There's a key word in that. Anybody want to guess what that word is? Go. Go. It says, go and make disciples. I'm guilty of this. I go out and I hand out flyers for New Life Church. I say, you all need to come to church. You all need to come to church. Hey, you know what? You need to come to church. Hey, you need to come to church. I don't read here where it says, go out and invite people to church. This is where I'm guilty. Because I have found an easy way to say I'm witnessing. Because I want to, you know, say, hey, you should come to New Life. We're really cool. Everything's great. We have awesome worship time. You say that to a lost person, They have no clue what you're talking about. It says, therefore go and make disciples. We are not called to invite the lost to church. We are called to go make disciples. It brings the next question is, where is lost people? We have to go to where lost people are. Guess where they're not? I said this about a couple months ago. I forget who I was talking to. But I said, we're relying on our church services to do things that they're never meant to do. We're trying to get people to come to church to get saved. We're supposed to take the cross to the people. We're supposed to take the gift of salvation to the nations. See, missionaries get this. They don't go to build a church. They go to minister to people. We, and I'm guilty, I am with the we, as a Church of America, have gotten pretty lazy with witnessing. You know, it says the first commandment is love God, and everybody's all for that. Man, when we come to church service, I'm ready to worship. I want a corporate worship. I want that. I want all these great things, you know, the gifts coming, everything, all the power of God, you know, all that stuff. We love that part of it. But the next step is love your neighbor. And that requires you to do an action. The first part is putting God first. That's easy. God, you're in control. I got this. You got this all. You just take it. The next part is God saying, okay, now put feet to your faith and now go out and witness to people. What? I have to share Jesus with people? We have to become a church that goes. We have to become a church that goes. And I'm not even asking you to go out and just talk to random people. I'm not asking you that. Because for some of you, that is outside your comfort zone. I'm talking, start with your neighbors. Start with people you deal with on a daily basis. Co-workers. Family members. People that you're already invested in. We want to always be praying that the lost will be saved. We always want to do that. We want to continue that. And we want to be praying for the prodigal to return. But the thing is, there is a difference between lost people and prodigal people. See, prodigal people already have known truth. And they went away from it. Lost people haven't. Lost people are lost. Prodigal people have went away. So, God, the Holy Spirit's in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. The prodigal to return. You know, we can read the story about the prodigal. You know, when he came to his senses, which means when he had a re-encounter with God, he realized, man, my life's horrible. Man, I understand. You try to explain the prodigal child to a lost person, they're confused because they were never home. They were never home. If we turn to Matthew 5, 13 and 16. I said we'd be turning, but these are good scripture verses for us to keep in mind what the main goal is. And our role here on earth is to love God and love others. That's it. So Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and push it under a basket, but on a lampstand to give light to who all is in the house. Let your light so shine before men that we may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are called to be salt to a bland generation. People are looking for something that's appealing. It's running even more so now. The reason why people get caught up in the things they get caught up in is because they're looking for a place to be accepted. They're looking for a place to have purpose. And we find that in many different ways. We find that maybe in the friends we hang out with. You know, and I'm not talking about our friends, because our friends are all here, right? And some outside here. I'm talking about when put your shoes in shoes of a lost person. Who are you hanging out with? I think it's sad that there's more attendance on a Saturday night at a bar than there is on Sunday morning at church. You know, when you can gather a couple hundred people at the local bar on Saturday night, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And this hits at home. I have friends who go to the bar. I have coworkers who go to the bar. Because they're looking for what? Community. They're looking for a place to belong. If a seasoning has no flavor, it has no value. If Christians make no effort to affect the world around them, then we are of little value to God. God still loves us. Don't get that wrong. God still wants to use us. God still wants purpose in our lives. But we squelch that. We squelch that when we disobey God by not going to the nations and making disciples. I also want to say, if we are too much like the world, we are worthless. Christians should not blend in with everyone else. Instead, we should affect others positively, just as seasoning brings out the best flavor in food. Just as seasoning brings out that good part. You know, I'm guilty. I'll take the salt and, you know, all over that. You know, because it tastes good. I want that. We are very committed here to reaching. We want to be very committed this next year going forward, reaching the lost, bringing the prodigal back. But we have to become salty. We have to become something appealing, something that people want to taste and want that in their lives. We have to do that without compromising the message of Christ. As Pastor Rick said, I am not interested in doing hour-long services. Not interested in it. Why? Because when God meets, if you can't sacrifice 2 hours of your morning to worship God, then you're not living in a life of sacrifice or surrender. Going to church is supposed to be an inconvenience. Serving God is an inconvenience to our flesh. Just because there's a big Super Bowl on tonight doesn't mean we get to take the day off. So, we have to become salt. And then we are called to be light. I always go back whenever I hear this scripture, I go, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But that's true. Whole bunch of theology in that. Hide it under a basket. No, I'm going to let it shine. Sometimes our busy schedules is hiding it under a basket. Guilty. Guilty. How, you know, I was doing in my study Bible, it has some notes in it, and it says, how do we hide light? is one of those things. And it had six things that we do that hides light. Number one, being quiet when we should speak. Two, going along with the crowd. Three, denying light. Hopefully none of you are doing that. Four, letting sin dim the light. Five, not explaining our light to others. And six is ignoring the needs of others. I tell you, since I told people I started working at the church, I have this big bullseye on my back at Kroger's. And I wish I could say that my reputation at Kroger's for the last 15 has been, woo, I've served God, woo! Not the case. Do a lot of this. I have to say I'm sorry a lot. Sorry. Sorry I did that to you. But one of the women who worked there, she looked at me and she goes, you know what? I see a change in you. I've seen a change in you. You know, Brad, who was there here 5 years ago, 6 years ago, man, he was a jerk. And if you knew me, you would know that. You know, my wife knew me and she still married me, so. So. And I think that's where we have to be challenged, is that we have to continue to take light to darkness. You know, I thought about turning off all the lights in here and lighting one candle. And then what would you see? You'd see the light from the candle, right? However dim it may be, it's still light. But it says also in the scriptures that we are to take light to darkness. Well, if we take light to darkness, there's no longer darkness. That's how I read it. If we take light into darkness, there's no more darkness. This is what, why are we waiting for darkness to come to light? The dark only knows the dark. That's all they know. Once you've had light, you can't go back to dark. Because there's something in there. I said in my youth, to the youth group the other day, and I go, sin is pleasurable for a season before the cross. After the cross, sin is not pleasurable. Why? Because you've been enlightened. You have this word called conviction. We have to be walking in salt and light outside these walls. In studying this, this is more for me, I think, than maybe y'all. Are you all getting stuff out of this? Okay. I just want to make sure. Because if I'm preaching to the choir, that's fine, because the choir needs to hear it too. All right. And I wrote at the bottom of this, I don't know if I did it on the right page, but three stages of Christian life. There's three stages in Christian life. At least there should be. One, you're a new believer. You are being discipled. That's stage one. Stage two, you've been walking with the Christ for a while and you are discipling others. See how that works? The third one is you are looking for someone to disciple. That's it. If we're actively pursuing God, and we're actively being obedient to God, those are the three stages of our lives. Retirement age isn't at 65. That is ongoing. Is that we are called to disciple others. And then guess what? When those people are discipled, they're trained to what? Go out and disciple. Are we doing a good job discipling the next generation? If you're under 19 years old, stand up. I wasn't going to do this, but I guess I'm going to. All right. Four people. 19 to 29. You guys can sit. 19 to 29. Okay. 2. 30 to 39. I'm in that one. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5. 40 to 49. Okay. 50 to 59. 60 to 69. Hallelujah. Encouragement. Awesome. Where are we at? 70 to 79. Okay. We can go 80 to 89. 80 to 89. All right. All right. What did we learn from this? There is all ranger age. But here's the thing I want to see. Is if you notice, we're missing a generation in this church. From 50 on, I love you guys. 50 on, I love you guys. You guys have so much knowledge to impart on the generation. You guys have been through so much that you could probably tell some of us, what are you doing? You know, I laugh because, and I'm going to pick on Kim. He's not here today. But I was telling him something about youth. And Kim's one of those who let you get to your own conclusion kind of people. You know, I'm telling him stuff I want to do for youth. And it didn't really work out the way I wanted to. And he comes up to me and he puts his arm around me and goes, well, you know, we used to try that. And I was like, I love you too, buddy. He goes, well, I didn't know if it was going to work or not. And you seem so excited about it. So, but there is a whole generation that's missing from this church. Those are the people we want to, those are the prodigals we want to call back. Those are the lost we want to save. You know, it's not that, you know, if you're 50 or older that we don't love you. We do. And we want to see more of that knowledge and wisdom come into the church too. Because as we grow, we're going to need that. Matthew 9:9-13. As Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus heard that, and he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. In this one action, Jesus pretty summed up his whole ministry about why he was here. As we love Jesus, and we're all church people, we love Jesus. Jesus' heart's for the sinner. We all were sinners once, right? But Jesus' heart's for the sinner. So the question comes, if Jesus' heart's for the sinner, where's your heart? If we are Christians and we are Christ-like, that means our hearts have to be for the sinner too. That means we're supposed to be like physicians. Is that what you read? That's what I read. You know, the sick need a doctor. That means lost people need an answer. You know, I go to the doctor. I go to the doctor because he has answers, right? Is that why we go to doctors? They have answers. You know, if I'm sick, you know, I don't go to the doctor. I try not to. But if I need something, I have to go to the doctor. You know, I have high blood pressure. If I need my high blood pressure medicine, guess who I have to see? I have to see the doctor. Why? Because he can give me what I need to take care of me. There's a whole bunch in that. We need to reach the lost. Our heart needs to be for the lost. And I will say this again. The lost are not in these four walls. I said this a lot last year. At the end of last year, when I've been starting to look at my vision for the youth group. It's actually God's vision for the youth group. He's just using me to facilitate it. But we have to go for lost people. Does that mean you're going to get out of your comfort zone? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it going to be inconvenient for you? Absolutely. But it's the sick who need a doctor. It's the darkness that need light. This world wants to taste something. So we're light. We're salt. We have love. I'm going to challenge you in this is challenging for me too. So like I said, everything that's in here, man, is for me. It's just for me as well. You know, I can hide behind that. I work for the church, you know. You know, I'm already doing stuff for God. Well, great, do more. Do more for God. Reach the lost for God. You know, because all this other stuff is not as important as reaching the lost for God. It's important. Don't get me wrong. It's important to serve in your church. It's important to help in your church. But this is the next stance we have to take as a body of believers. Is that we've been praying for unity. We've been praying for the lost to be saved. We've been praying for the prodigal. Well, are we ready to receive the prodigal? Are we ready to receive the lost? Because that's a ministry unto its own. It's one thing if they come to church and visit. It's another thing for them to come and be here with us and become a part of our family. Because that's the goal, is that our family's going to grow. We need to be stretched. 2 years ago, I went through a stretching season in my own life. You know, 2 years ago, you asked me to come up here and preach. I'd laugh at you. But God is wanting to stretch us even farther. When it comes to bringing in the harvest, all hands have to be on deck. You know, I watch, what is that, The Deadliest Catch? I used to watch that all the time. You know, they're getting the lobsters, they're getting the crabs, they're getting those all in. And I'm sitting there going, man, if one person isn't doing their job, someone could die. I didn't realize that. But that's the church. Everything needs to be happening at the same time. Everything needs to be happening. All the ministries need to be working together in unity. We cannot do it alone. There can't be just five people helping. It's got to be a full-on, whole body believers. We are going to go after this. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. And I understand that people have served in the church for many, many years. I understand that. But we have never been in a season of church like we have been in right now. We have an opportunity right now. God is showing favor on the United States right now. Are we going to squander it? Or are we going to excel at it? And let me say this, we have been, like I said, I love you all so very much, and I do not want to come across offenses or step on people's toes. I do not want that at all. But we all have to be actively involved in the growth of New Life Church. We have to. That means sometimes it's going to be inconvenient for us. We need help in ministry, especially when the lost come. When the prodigals come, If they get here and we're not ready, we've already lost. We need to have things established now. So when they come there, we can plug them in. What does that mean? That means we need help in children's ministry. We need help in the nursery. Because we're asking for people with families to come. It's not real fair that we ask new people to come and there's no one to watch their kids. Or no one to help with their kids. It may be an inconvenience, but if we find growth, then it's only for a season that we have to be inconvenienced. Because as we disciple, they're going to plug into the ministry. This is a full life investment. You guys have already invested so much in this church body. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. And the harvest is going to start coming in. If we are obedient to what God wants us to do. Before you invite anyone to church. And this will be. This is challenging for me. Have a meal with them. Have a meal with them. Invite them to your house. Invite yourself to their house. Hey, we should do dinner sometime. Hey, at your place? Okay. You know? Why? Because that's where they're at. That's where they're at. And I'm not saying you sit there and you take the Bible with you and you slam them upside the head with it. Say, you need this. Well, I asked James here, what's the most effective way to reach somebody? Is it A, just presenting the gospel very first thing, or reaching them where they're at? Reaching them where they're at. You have to find some kind of common ground. You know, James likes fishing and hunting. If he sees someone fishing and hunting, he's like, yeah, I got this. You know, you see somebody who's involved with music, man, I'm all over it. But I have different interests than you do. You have different, you know, we have to meet them where they're at. You know, we have so many different people here with different things they like and different things they do that somebody should be ministered to. You know, and if not, invite them or invite the other couple over if you feel like they're going to hit it off better. You know, do this together. That's what ministry is. It's doing ministry together. So a question I want you to be thinking to yourself is, how can I help at New Life Church? The reason why I struggled so much with whether or not to give this message or not is because I don't know if this is my place to say that. But it has to be said. It has to be said. We need help for growth. That means everyone has to be doing their part in growth. We have to be salt. We have to be light. And that's just as much outside these walls as inside these walls. I won't read all this, but Luke chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him and hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. It goes on a little bit later talking about the coin. You know, a woman searches, cleans the whole house, cleans it all again, looking for this. Why did Jesus use this parable? It's what I come back to. to show that the one was worth. We have to make personal investments in the one lost. We have to, almost to the point, forsaking all others and going after that one. If God has laid it on your heart to go after it, He said to go find the one. That means you have to invest everything you have in the one. That means you have to invest in lost people's life. What does that look like? There's a lot of baggage you have to go through when you truly invest. You know, it's not like just, hey, I'm praying for you. Hang up. Hey, you doing okay? Okay, great. See you next week. It's more than that. Because I believe that if we invest ourselves into one lost person, and I mean, investing means you talk to them 3-4 times a week, saying, hey man, what's up? You know, and say, hey, you know, sneak God in there, you know, because we're called to disciple. You want to build a relationship. You want to build a relationship. That's what this is. We want to build a relationship because we want them to be a part of our family. You know, church growth happens outside these walls. It can happen. You know, let's lead them to Christ and then invite them to church. You know, when God first revealed that to me, it threw my whole theology off for a second. It threw, you know, I'm like, wait. I'm supposed to lead them to Christ outside the walls and then bring them to church. You know, for so long, I'm in my mind is like, just come to church. Let's go to church. The church will get you saved. No. You are. You are to go. You are to act as Jesus and tell them about salvation. You are to make, you know, Jesus spoke right into their lives. You know, we talk about miraculous things. You know, Peter was doing miraculous things. We talk about the book of Acts, and we've been going through it. And how many people are getting challenged by the book of Acts? Wow. I hope a lot more are. But the book of Acts is really the book of action. Right? We read how the disciples and the apostles, after Jesus left, they had to be put into action. There was no Jesus. We are called to be into action. We are called to be in action. Peter was working in the miraculous. He was working, you know, people were getting healed. People were, he was prophesying, you know, discernment was happening. All these things were happening when the Holy Spirit came. If God's not a respecter of persons, then why are we not walking in that? Why are we not standing on the promises that God gave us? The same Holy Spirit that's in us is the same that's in Jesus. That's the challenge. Are you willing to leave the 99 and go after the one? Are you willing to forsake everything and go after that one who you know needs Jesus? I will say, if I didn't take a personal, and I'm going to embarrass him here in a second, if I didn't take a personal interest in Chris Harrison's life, I don't think he'd be sitting here right now. Is that right, Chris? Why? Chris and I have a lot in common. You know, we like music, you know, I kind of the same. I get it. But if I didn't get to know Chris, and then get to understand what makes Chris think and how he talks and what makes him tick and everything, he would have been out the door a long time ago. Because he's like, that's church, you know, I don't know, you know. We have to invest in people as Christ invested in us. I want you to think back. Some of you, this is going to be longer than others. When did you come to Christ? Is it because God just supernaturally showed up and said, okay, I'm going to minister to you right now. God just downloads salvation into your head and just, you got saved that way. Not saying that can't happen. Or is it because somebody told you about Christ? Is it because somebody loved you enough to tell you that you need a Savior? I know in my life it did. In my life it did. I was 11 years old when I first asked Christ into my life. I remember it to this day. I was with my mother, who's here this morning. And we were in my kitchen at Mom and Dad's house. And I got home from Sunday school and I was stirred. And, you know, I raised in a Christian home and I'm like, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I need this. What did Mom do? She stopped there. She gave me a great big hug. She goes, okay, let's pray. And there, I asked Jesus into my heart. Does that mean when I was a teenager and in my 20s, I did everything perfectly? No. You know, Mom's here. She can testify to that too. But God's hand wasn't off my life. Mom didn't quit investing in me because I went away. That's where we need to be as a body. It's challenging. I'm saying, you know, at times it's toe stepping on. You know, for me, it took God taking me to the woodshed. You know, it took God saying, hey, we gotta break through some of this stuff. You know, you're not seeing it clearly. You know, you're saying that church is enough. And I agree, church is a great part of life, but church is not enough. You read in the scriptures, Jesus did very little ministry inside church walls. And if Christ is our, this is what I always come back to, if Christ is our example, then why aren't we doing the things of Christ? In closing, and I'm not one of those people who say in closing, then that's only halfway through. I did make the joke yesterday that, you know, we had to cut worship short because I got a 2-hour message. I was joking. That's not what it is. So, but if you will turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and some of you already know what this passage is. It's the love chapter. This puts it all in perspective. You know, yes, we can have all the zeal in our lives. We can have all the umption to go out and do stuff. And we can have all the gifts of God in our lives and Him show favor on our worship services. But what does it say? If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my good and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not speak its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity or rejoice, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's stop there. Let's jump to 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understand as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. We are called to love. love is not easy. We just read that. That's pretty much all those other things. This is what I got out of that. Love's not easy. You know, love is a choice we have to make when it comes to witnessing to lost people. And when it comes to showing love to the prodigals, it's really easy for us to say, and I'm guilty of this, you know, man, they got away from the Lord. What happened to them? What happened to them? Instead of, man, I break for them. Do you understand that's Jesus' heart? When somebody leaves the flock, his heart's breaking. That has to be our hearts. Our heart has to break for lost people. Because we have truth. We have purpose. We have hope. We have love. Why wouldn't we want to share that? Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Let's stand. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to just think to yourself. There's quite a bit of things I said. There's quite a bit of things that we talked about. First and foremost, who is that person in your life that you need to disciple? You know, at times we want to disciple everybody. We want to go out, but Jesus picked 12. I think we'd be all right if we picked one. So who in your life are you supposed to disciple? Lead to Christ. Show Christ's forgiving love. I think we all have somebody in mind. Let's pray for those people right now. Dear Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we honor you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are such an awesome God. That we minister out of your grace for us, Lord. That we minister to other people because you allow us to. Lord, and that you want to use us. Lord, help us to take away any hindrance in our lives or any excuses in our lives not to follow you. Lord, we pray for these individuals that everybody has on their minds right now, Lord, that you will do a supernatural thing and you will give the words we need through the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit in each of us. And you'll give us the courage we need to speak truth into these people's lives. And that they will be saved in the name of Jesus. We proclaim that as a church body, that these individuals that we are praying for right now will be saved in the name of Jesus. We proclaim that. We stand on that truth. We stand in unity for these requests. You have not because you have not asked. Lord, we are asking for a supernatural draw of people to New Life Church. Lord, that you will make the prodigals realize that there is a hole in their lives. That they need completeness in their life. And that only comes through you. So Lord, we ask for the drawing of the prodigals back, Lord. And then we ask you to get feet to our faith to go out and reach the lost. At whatever cost. Lord, make us inconvenient. Make Christianity in this church be relevant to this community. Lord, we thank you and we praise you today. And we ask you to just anoint our steps as we leave this place today. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Amen. All right. Quick announcement. Make sure you check out the prayer wall out there and sign up for times to be praying the 19th through the 25th. We need to have all those spots filled. So we can make sure that prayer is continuously happening. All right, you are dismissed.